My first guest in this edition is Texas Congressman Kevin Brady, a Republican from the Lone Star State's 8th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Ways and Means Committee. We want to get his thoughts as a lame duck session of Congress considers more economic stimulus legislation, including a significant bailout plan for the beleaguered U.S. auto industry. And Congressman, thanks so much as always for your time.
Well, thanks for having me, Greg.
What's the fundamental philosophy of House Republicans going forward here? I know a lot of your colleagues were very reluctant with the first bailout plan. What's the thought as more billions of dollars of taxpayer money is considered here to help the auto industry and potentially other areas of the economy?
Well, I think everyone wants to create jobs in America right now. There's no question about how we go about it. I think there's a fundamental difference with the Democrats. Right now, it looks like the stimulus package is much more just a Christmas tree of pet spending projects, whether it's Amtrak or Medicaid funding or a bailout to a few of the states, versus really creating jobs in the country. And so I think we see a fundamental difference over that. And on the auto bailout issue, I don't think there's any question people want to keep America's automobile manufacturing base. How we go about it, I think, is the question. And, you know, members have an open mind, but the worry, couple worries. One is, that, you know, where do we stop? We have a lot of stressed-out industries in America, and if Washington is sort of the piggy bank or the lender of last resort, you know, that could go forever. Secondly, I don't think anyone's interested in bailing out an industry that's going to continue the way it's going today. We know it's unsustainable. And there's also concern about not bailing out the auto industry, but rather bailing out the auto unions, which have been part of the problem to keep these companies uncompetitive. So I think a lot of the members are anxious to see what format or proposal this bailout for the auto industry is going to take. There's lots of discussion right now about it. I think there's just a lot of concerns.
If you could have your way on this, what sort of potentially free market approach do you think might do better than more government handouts here? And in terms of specifically the auto workers, the auto unions having a hand in all this, how do you make sure that if there is government assistance towards the industry, that it gets to where it really needs to go?
Well, we've got a couple things. One, I think helping the auto industry move to the cars of the future, I think, has a lot of support, and that's why a lot of members voted for the $25 billion to help them retool toward the future. As for this new stimulus, you know, I think it's a case of the auto industry making a serious restructuring effort, you know, shedding some of the more onerous union contracts, really coming up, shedding, you know, a number of lines that are duplicative. I think financing is an issue today. I talk to my local auto dealers for GM and Ford and Chrysler, and they tell me they're turning away 40 to 50 sales a month from people who, you know, have decent credit but not good enough credit, not over 700 point credit score points. And so we ought to take a look at the credit side as well from the standpoint we don't want to create loose credit where people are going to end up upside down their cars, but if we can generate a number of sales from creditworthy customers, you know, that may help the big three actually attract the capital to move to restructuring.
What's your sense, Congressman, and you mentioned this a moment ago, that if Congress continues to pass massive legislation and create government assistance for another industry, where does the gravy line stop, in other words, and where do you see that happening? Do you believe this will simply encourage other industries to stop looking for their own solutions and come to Washington for help?
Well, unfortunately, it will encourage that, and that's the problem, because we have, you know, the airline industry is stressed out. The retail industry is stressed out. Technology areas, there's just, I'm not so sure you can ever stop it. And there's a concern, too, that if we provide some type of bridge loan to the auto industry, will they use it to really make the tough decisions that can get them competitive again long run, or are we just putting off the inevitable? You know, is bankruptcy the end result that we're going to get to one way or the other, and do we risk, you know, taxpayer dollars to do it? Personally, I think we need an American auto manufacturing base in this country. How we get to it, And is the bailout the right way? That's the big question.
Well, let's talk about the unions just a little bit more on that front. You mentioned that it's important that the money not end up in their pockets. And we talked about this on the show before about how these legacy costs of huge overhead for pensions and for health care benefits for retirees that have been promised over the many decades are adding huge price tags onto the cars. These companies are awash in ink. What do you believe the role of the unions has been in getting to that point, and how can they be of help or of great hindrance, depending on how they act here moving forward?
You know, I think they are today because of just layer after layer after benefits added on. I think they're now a big part of the problem, one of the reasons our auto industry, you know, American auto industry isn't competitive with their foreign competitors. You know, I'd like to see us move to a format much like the Hondas and Toyotas of the world, where the hourly wage is maybe half of what the American auto unions have, but their bonus and productivity wages oftentimes bring them over that amount. Plus, they're now using 401ks. Workers have more control over their benefits and their retirement. I'm convinced that there's a format, a successful format, already being proven by the foreign automakers here in the United States. And I think regardless of how we end up with this, that needs to be a critical component, because just buying a few more months or even another year doesn't solve the problem.
Well, what do you sense as the long-term strategy? If you've had any talks with the incoming Obama folks or just with your own leadership in Congress about the long-term approach here, is it more going to be of reacting to the news that we see, as with the first bailout and potentially this package, or is there going to be a long-term strategy to set a framework where the economy will get on a smooth path again?
You know, I think it's the long-term. In fact, I think the White House and the administration and Congress has been in a reactionary mode here for far too long. And I think you're seeing that in the bailout plan, which not only has changed a number of times, which I think is fair, because the problem has changed a number. It's morphed into a global problem rather than just a United States problem. It's created a credit crunch that wasn't there when we first voted on the rescue package. So changing isn't the problem. It just seems to me it's a mile wide and an inch deep. It's too reactionary. And I think we ought to get back to the basic premise of, you know, the U.S. economy is very resilient. As long as we've got credit for the creditworthy and we don't have a global recession, the U.S. economy will bounce back. And part of that is creating a business climate in the United States where we can create jobs. And my worry is that we will overregulate, overtax, and create an environment where, in fact, it's harder for us to bounce back. That's, I think, a worry of a lot of conservatives in Washington.
On the flip side, then, Congressman, is the answer in your mind in terms of creating a stable economic foundation for this country to make regulations fewer and taxes lower?
You know, I think regulation is complex only when you haven't addressed the problem at the beginning. The financial institutions, I think part of the solution is to go back to some basics in housing, you know, making sure that there is a decent down payment, that income and jobs are verified, that lenders have to hold on to a stake in the home mortgage loans that they make, basic capital requirements, leveraging limits, things we've had in place before, and when we moved away from it, created so much mischief in complicated markets. And I think the way you uncomplicate them is go back to the very beginning and regulate them just very soundly so that they can't get too complicated at the end.
We've got about a minute or so left in our conversation with Texas Congressman Kevin Brady. And Congressman, do you get the sense that that'll be possible in the next couple of years? You're looking at a smaller Republican minority on both sides of Capitol Hill, a Democrat replacing a Republican in the White House. We have heard from Speaker Pelosi that she says there'll be more bipartisanship with larger Democratic majorities, but what do you truly expect here for the next couple of years?
You know, I think Democrats will initially, because they have a monopoly of power over Congress and the White House, will try to push through a fairly partisan agenda. And I think they'll learn what Republicans learned, which is for the very big issues, Social Security, health care, Medicare, issues like that, no single party can accomplish solutions for it. They're going to have to reach out across the aisle. It's a lesson we learned as Republicans, and hopefully the sooner they learn it, the better.
Congressman, it's always a great pleasure to have you with us, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Greg. Take care.
You too, sir. Texas Congressman Kevin Brady represents his state's 8th Congressional District. He also has a seat on the powerful House Ways and Means Committee. Still ahead on this edition, we'll talk with Christina Bellantoni of the Washington Times about the Obama transition, as well as the president-elect's meeting with his former presidential rival John McCain on Monday. We'll also talk with pollster Peter Hart about the strong public support for an automotive industry bailout. And we'll talk with Chuck Nash, a retired U.S. Navy captain, about the proposed security pact going forward between the U.S. and Iraq. But the news is next. This is Dateline Washington.